Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to Engage for Success Radio, show number 898, Enabling Employee Voice with Digital Tools. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm a social media HR consultant working with the Engage for Success movement leading on digital and social media. The movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there's a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, and we're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, you can use the orange button in the top right to join in and jump onto our mailing list. And if you tweet, please share your thoughts using our hashtag, which is #E4S, and that's with the number 4, and join us in our LinkedIn groups. All our social media links are on our homepage on the right sidebar under Connect With Us. And if you enjoy the show, please go to our iTunes profile and give us a rating. So a quick question for our regular listeners today. We're considering moving the time of the live show to a more drive time of the day. Now that people can listen in on 4G and Wi-Fi and that sort of thing, we're thinking more people might be able to listen to us on their commute. And we realise that although a lot of our gurus are probably working from their own offices and so on and being able to listen live, that practitioners quite often in business environments may struggle to listen live at 4 o'clock on a Monday. So we're thinking about moving it to 5:30 on a Monday, as I said, to try and fit in with the drive time. So we'd like to get your views. So if you've got any strong views either way, please tweet us at Engage for Success, that's with the number 4, or email me, jo@engageforsuccess.org, and let us know what you think. You can obviously always listen to the archive on the website or on the Blog Talk Radio site or on iTunes anytime anyway. So if you don't listen live, then you're probably not going to be too bothered. So today I'm interviewing Anthony Cousins, who's Director of Customer Success for ProFinder. We met through a colleague of Anthony's who came to a Manners & Murphy employee engagement event where Kathy Brown, our exec director, was speaking. We got chatting and Myla suggested that Ant would make a great guest, and here we are. So can I call you Ant? I meant to check that at the beginning, actually. You're Anthony or Ant, yeah. Aren't you? But I don't know what you'd prefer.
Ant is fine. I actually started off my career as Tony, but it's kind of become short. And now I'm in the tech sector. We figured Ant is a bit more tech, so it's Ant.
So as you get older, you might be Ah. <as it's getting> So do tell us a bit about yourself and your sort of journey to where you are now.
Sure. So, I'm now the Director of Customer Success at ProFinder.com. But my career started 15 years ago in government, and actually joined in IT. And I actually joined it as the lowest possible grade in the civil service. And I started work at an RAF base out in East Anglia, you know, far removed from the centre of government. But I found that really useful because I know what it feels like. I remember what it feels like to be kind of a worker bee at the distant arm of an organization, kind of looking up at the ivory tower of the center and not really knowing how it all fits together. And I always try to keep that in my mind ever since. But then I got promoted a couple of times, ended up in London working in IT project management and change management for MOD. But after 7 years in IT, I then kind of switched to communications. So then I went into the MOD press office at the height of the Iraq and Afghan conflicts. And then I went to Iraq and Afghanistan and provided advice on PR to the armed forces there. And that's where I learned to kind of take incredibly complex subjects and having to boil them down to the most simplest form if you're going to have any chance of getting through and engaging with people who really only have a tiny piece of their bandwidth available for your messaging. So it was really, really useful learning there. After that, I did some community engagement work for the Home Office and then some account management for the MOD. Before I came back to communications, but this time specifically focusing on internal communications, mostly around HR change programs. So I worked for the Defence Reform Program with around 200,000 internal stakeholders, and then did some consultancy for the Army in Germany on their drawdown there for about 40,000 stakeholders, and then went to the Cabinet Office on promotion and worked on civil service reform, so around 600,000 internal stakeholders. And then in June last year, after 15 years and 12 different jobs and 4 promotions across 3 countries in the civil service, great time of my life, I then jumped into the private sector as the Director of Customer Success for ProFinder. My role here is to provide the consultancy support to customers implementing ProFinder, including the areas of change management and internal communications.
And how have you found the change? Because I guess a lot of our listeners who aren't in sort of public sector have got a sort of view on what they think that seems to be like, and then, you know, a very different one as far as the private sector is concerned.
Sure. Actually, I found it took about 3 days for me to realize it may have been a good move, because I've always been kind of fairly entrepreneurial in nature. So I found one of the things that concerned me was when I moved into the private sector, you don't really have a benchmark. You have no idea how, as a civil servant, you really compare to your peers in the private sector. And actually, now joining the process, there really hasn't been a huge difference. I think we should probably, and this is kind of me speaking from my civil servant point of view, probably should be more proud of how good we are in the civil service. I think it's part of our nature not to shout about how well we do. We don't do it for thanks. We do it because, you know, it's a really engaging subject. So actually, I think it's been easier for me to make this transition than I expected it to be.
And I guess the sort of role that you had to sort of really think on your feet anyway, with what you were doing, regardless of rules and regulations anyway. So it was probably much more...
Well, yeah, or worse, you've got to do the rules and regulations at the same time as being under immense pressure. So, I think it was a really good experience. I couldn't have hoped for a better career than I had in the civil service, and I think it's really kind of set me a good broad standing for my career in the private sector.
Excellent. So tell us a bit more about ProFinder as an organisation and about what you actually do.
Sure. So ProFinder is a collaboration platform which simply enables employees to find the right person at the right time and then quickly collaborate with them. It's built for employees. We call it employee-centric because it's built to enable employees to get their jobs done on a daily basis. But what we're talking about, the benefits you get out of that is really for HR and internal communications, because the data we can provide you can really help you make more evidence-based decisions, gives you a higher level of evidence base. So I guess if you imagine you're sat at that top table, and this is an issue I think HR and internal communications are both facing, is, you know, trying to improve their standing, get and maintain that seat at the top table. If you're sat across from the chief financial officer and he's got spreadsheets and he's got evidence, he can tell you exactly how much they're spending and what profit is and how much resource costs. From the HR and the EIC point of view, we really need to be looking to provide an evidence base for the same kinds of decision. So I don't think we can any longer, and I think it's been a realization for some time now, you can't sit at that table and talk about feelings or indications or you know, the employee engagement survey that you did, you know, 9 months ago. It's got to be more fact-based. It's got to be 24/7. So that's kind of the outcome of using ProFinder, a collaboration platform.
And so is it a social platform?
So controversially, we call it anti-social. So for us, it's not about sharing pictures of your cat, is about getting work done. And we really labour that point because we think that focus helps. Some of the problems the other more social platforms have when senior leadership or employees themselves aren't really sure what they're there for. So we think that focus really helps us on that point. So although we're trying to fix some of the same problems as social platforms, we really try to avoid being called a social platform in ourselves.
And does that cause a challenge as far as sort of getting engagement with the platform, because some of the social platforms would probably say that some of the sort of more personal stuff that perhaps you'd be referring to when you talk about sharing pictures of cats, that actually gets people engaged with it in the first place, and then the rest of it sort of flows from there, and you don't have that sort of opportunity with it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think there's probably a number of issues there. So you've got the way senior leaders look at social media, if they jump onto that platform and see pictures of cats being shared, regardless of what the purpose of that cat, I think that senior leaders have a bit of an issue with how much are we spending on this platform, how much are we spending on community management for this platform. So I would say that if you're having to share pictures of your cats on the platform to get people engaged, it's just not a good enough platform. So our approach is, if we just make it so simple, if we make it really engaging for the user to use and get their job done, they'll use it regardless of how many cats are on it, is our approach. So to stretch that cat metaphor just a bit.
Yeah, I was thinking we were about to do that. Okay, so just sort of paint a picture of what ProFinder looks like or is to a user. So on a daily basis, what are they actually doing with it?
Sure. So if you imagine to use social platforms as a reference, because we're all fairly familiar with that technology, whereby you are, you know, shouting about issues you're facing on a daily basis, and you're really shouting into a noisy room of forums and groups. That's kind of one way to go about it. The other way is to enable the user to specify what their problem is, and then let the technology go away and find the very best person for them in any given moment. So the way we approach it is, if you allow the user to specify the problem, let the technology find the right people for them, then enable them to have a conversation. It shortens the amount of time that it takes them to find that person. So it really makes it more engaging for them. So really, it's about understanding everything about the users and putting them in touch with other users at the right time and in the right way. So it takes all the irrelevance, all the noise, and all the luck out of, I think, some of those more social platforms where it's a bit more a chance encounter. So to differentiate using something you can understand, that's how we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So as a user, I complete a profile that includes my experience and skills?
Yeah, absolutely. So the platform is built on three pillars. And every time I say this, it sounds more like a religion, the three pillars of ProFinder. So we discover everything about the user, and this is something we can take from your inbuilt systems, your CVs, your HR data systems, anything you like, we will integrate with and suck that data into ProFinder so that we know so much about an individual from their experience, from projects they've worked on, brands they've been exposed to, skills they have. Take everything of relevance from a user, and this is part of the consultancy phase that we work this stuff out. Once we collect all that data, then the second pillar comes in, which is our technology, and really the clever bit of our product is the intelligence that goes behind the matching process. So we really match people together based on 2 or 3 years worth of machine learning that's gone into the back end of our product, and that ensures that when you specify that problem, it finds the very best people for you. Regardless of what it says on their job title, regardless of what it says, you know, in the department that they work in, it's based solely on relevance. So nothing to do with the school they went to, the country they come from, you know, the color of the skin, all irrelevant. What's relevant is the skills, the experience, whether they can help you with that problem. So I think that there's a strong element of kind of encouraging diversity and engagement at work, but making sure that it's just based completely on the relevance of the person. And then finally, even if you achieve those two things, you need kind of the reward and recognition mechanic, the gamification element, to make sure that people use it and feel rewarded for doing so. So we have three pillars to ProFinder, and that's how it works, and we found it to be pretty successful.
So just talk me through, if you were posting an issue, a question, what are you actually doing? You're saying, you know, I need help with this, or this is my issue. How does that bit work?
Sure. So we have it. It's called a task, but really is any kind of element where you need to bring a group of people together. So you would create a task, you would title the task, you'd explain here are the skills and experiences or whatever the facets of people's profiles that you're looking for. So that could be skills, could be experience, could be projects. Let's say, you know, you're doing a pitch for Coca-Cola, for example. You want to find anyone in your company who's, you know, had experience of pitching to Coca-Cola, who's worked for Coca-Cola, who has created documentation relevant to that kind of pitch. You specify all of that, you hit go, and it comes back in a couple of seconds. It says, you know what, you know, these three people, you've never met them, they're based in, doesn't matter which office, but they're the three very best people for you. And then you click invite, and those people get an email notification to their inbox, to their phone or whatever, to say, you know, you've been requested to help out a colleague here, can you provide some help? And for them, it might be, yeah, I've got that pitch deck, it's still sat in my archive, you know. For them, it's just a couple of minutes work, but for you, it's obviously saved you hours and could potentially earn the business a great deal more money.
So when we set up the show, we decided to talk particularly about employee voice. So how does ProFinder fit with that concept from your perspective?
Sure. So yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to go into a little more detail on, I think, to define employee voice, to give us some reference. I think we in HR and internal communication sometimes are in danger of romanticizing what employee voice really is. I think because when you're in HR or IC, your day job is thinking about the organizational strategy and how to get employees to make decisions in line with that strategy on a day-to-day basis and feel more engaged in doing so. And I think because it's so much of our day, we sometimes forget that employees, most employees, and I've been one of those employees, you know, the distant arm of the organization, think about this stuff very, very little. It's a tiny proportion of their brain time. On a day-to-day basis, what they're using their employee voice for is getting their work done. So when I was in government, we ran a pulse survey, and we found that employees wanted more than anything. The thing that frustrated them most was their IT, because they wanted to get their jobs done. And we would have known that before doing the pulse survey if we could only have listened to what they were talking about on a daily basis. So what I'm saying is 99% of employees' day, they're using their voice to get their jobs done. and to shout about things that frustrate them. And if you start listening to that voice instead of the 1%, where they're talking about the more strategic and organizational level engagement factors, then you'll dramatically increase your ability to impact the bottom line. So what I'm saying is HR and internal comms need to pay attention to everything employees are saying, not just the bits directed at them specifically. And that's a benefit you can get if you own the collaboration platform they're using to do their work.
And how does that work in practical terms as far as being the HR or the internal comms person? How are you able to draw that information out of ProFinder?
Sure. So firstly, I guess, what is it we're trying to achieve here? So for HR, I think this is going back to a report that McKinsey did back in 2012, well-cited report where they found that in large companies, especially knowledge-based companies, employees are wasting up to 26 hours a week just looking for people and stuff in the organization, which is a criminal waste. So that's from what we're trying to get out of it is an understanding of how much of that is going on and how you can reduce that. So what we're looking for in terms of the data we pull out for HR is informing HR, not on an annual basis of how engaged their employees are, but on a 24/7, you know, continuous live basis, who is engaged, where in the organization, who's coming up with what ideas, where are they, and what's the quality of those ideas and what's the subject of those ideas. You can get kind of a real finger on the pulse of what your entire workforce is doing on any given moment. So that, I think, gives you in the ability in HR and NIC to be able to really kind of make more evidence-based decisions. You can be proactive in addressing those kinds of concerns before the workforce as a whole has realized that issue for themselves. For HR, this is, you know, the ability to pull out reporting on the future direction of a company. Being able to pull out, you know, you may not realize your company's expanded into India because, look, here's all the subjects, here's all the topics, here's all the tasks going on that are India-related as opposed to US-related, for example. So HR gets a much more evidence-based kind of approach to how they do the business. And they start to act as the voice of what the entire workforce is doing. And that's the benefit we're trying to pull out of the system from HR.
I guess you talked about sort of seeing what ideas people have got, but perhaps, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, the biggest benefit is probably finding out what questions people have, where people are stuck.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you're recording what people are creating in terms of their tasks, it really is a shout for help. This is something they can't find, you know, either within their own kind of experience or within their own kind of immediate team. So just looking at those kinds of shouts for help can give you huge insight into skills gaps, for example. Let's say you've identified already that you need to increase your digital skills. So, you know, what do? You roll out your digital skills strategy, try and increase digital skills, you make more digital courses available. But how effective are you being? Well, if you've got a record of everyone's skills and it's updated 24/7, then all of a sudden you can really measure the value and the impact of your digital strategy, and you can refine it and adapt it over time. So it doesn't just enable you to be more proactive, it makes you be more refined and more efficient in how you do your job. So we think it's a huge benefit for HR if you're monitoring that on a daily basis.
And what about social media generally, because a lot of organizations are using, and I realize you don't call this social, are using, you know, social media for things related to this. But I know you've done some research where you actually have as a social HR consultant, I was quite interested in the research that you've done about how impactful social media is in organizations and the time it takes for that to be so. Perhaps you can tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So I did my CIPRIC diploma last year, and for my project I researched internal social media in large organizations. I had over 50 organizations that took part, and what I found was that this is again kind of my take on that research was that social is not the answer. It revealed that it dramatically increases the workload for HR and internal communications teams across the board, but doesn't show really kind of reliable benefits for at least 2 years. I mean, even after that, the number of organizations reporting benefits in more than just two or three of the 18 or so potential benefits of greater collaboration internally. There really wasn't a handful that are producing more than two or three of those benefits. So this is backed up again by that same McKinsey report, which showed that, you know, while 75% of companies reported using social media, only 3% of them reported benefits across the whole organization, including internally. So I don't question the value of social media for engaging your customers, but for engaging your employees, I believe there is a better way. And this is also backed up by Gartner's report back in 2013, also quite a widely referenced document. which showed that the majority of enterprise social implementations fail because of an overemphasis on technology and a failure to address the cultural aspects of collaboration. And that's the piece that brings it back to the social. The point of them just isn't clear enough. You've got to do so much work outside the system to explain to people what the social platform is. That even though it's called social, it's not social, it's supposed to be for work, which is just confusing for users. And also because I think a fascinating paper I read for my diploma, which is submitted to the Association for Advancement of Artificial Intelligence last year, on information overload, that the more active you are on social media, the more likely you are to suffer from information overload. So your ability to process information and your ability to prioritize goes down. I think these are all issues with social media. So whilst, yes, you can connect up users and connect up employees, rather, with social media, the risks and the costs of implementing a social approach are too great. I think you're much better off with an intelligent way of going about a collaboration. And that's why I left government and joined Profinder, because I saw the future in that.
So we're sort of saying that it's not about conversations and networks to lead to the answer of the information that you need. It's using the technology to do that. So it's a bit more sort of pull when you need it, rather than using the networks to create all these connections in the hope that they'll be useful at some stage. Is that sort of a...
Exactly. You're on the money. I think the idea that you can encourage your users, encourage your staff to engage in 100, conversations in the hope that one of them leads to a business piece of value and a bit of serendipity is crazy. Start by specifying the problem, find the right people to have the conversation with, then have the conversation. In that way, every conversation leads to business value, not one in 100. So I think some of the statistics you're seeing around the kind of the health of social media networks internally, so you've probably heard of the golden rule, 1% creators, 9% sharers, 90% lurkers. I think that's not a golden rule in my book. If 1% of people are creating and 9% of people are sharing and 90% of people are doing nothing but looking, that for me is not a golden rule. I would like to see everyone with a problem using the product and using the tool to engage, and everyone who has the ability to help be engaged equally. And we've seen this in some of our own statistics from some of our early kind of beta clients. So I think it's showing that it works. And it's just about kind of having some time to get some real ROI, because obviously the changes we're making to companies are quite substantial. So it's about demonstrating that over time.
So on that basis, you're not looking at much in the way of community management. It's sort of driven by the people using it. Is that the case?
Exactly. I mean, community management, from my own experience of kind of being one of the people responsible for increasing the amount of Yammer users in government, I know how much work goes into the community management aspects around just all the work you do outside the system to encourage people to sign up once they're in, to then show them how to use it and demonstrate to them what success looks like, and then reward them and then explain to people outside the system, hey, look what this guy just did. That's really useful. Why didn't you all try doing that? The amount of work you're going to do outside the system to get people to use it in the right way is quite heavy. So our system is a really simple mechanic around giving and getting help. There is only those two things you can do. So it makes it really clear for the user, reduces the amount of training you have to do outside the system, reduces the amount of work you have to do to demonstrate, here's what it's for. So when you introduce a social platform, don't be surprised when your employees use it in a social way, which may or may not give you your business value. What we said is, introduce the platform and make it clear this is about giving and getting help. That is all you can do on this platform. And in that way, it's targeted and it's more efficient, it's more effective, and your community management is much reduced.
When you described it, you talked about your three pillars about having the sort of all the skills information in there, having the tech working behind the scenes. And then the third one, you talked about reward and recognition or gamification. What does that look like to the people and to the senior people and the HR people?
Yeah, absolutely. So... this is about not being so, I guess, not so over. On a social platform, you might have the senior leaders engaged to say, this is our direction for this next month. These are the targets. This is what we're trying to do, et cetera. Having the leadership on there, being really overt with that sometimes actually drives users away from those what otherwise might be quite fun and engaging platforms. So we said, let's put that behind the scenes. So actually, your activity in ProFinder is gamified. So you earn points for engaging in the system and conducting the right activities. So you can adjust that level and reward users for doing the right things. Let's say you are making that strategic push towards India and away from the US. So you can increase and adjust the points that people learn for creating the right kind of task. So you're subtly nudging them towards the right kind of activities, as opposed to that kind of over, heavy-handed approach. And that really kind of subconsciously obviously affects the employees. So the cool thing for us from that point is, I guess, if you imagine what an engaged user, an engaged member of staff is, we have many different terms, but I think one that a lot of people use is that extra 10% model, where you've got an engaged employee, they just want to give that extra 10%. Well, let's say you're a good HR or IT practitioner, you've achieved that, you've got plenty of employees who have that extra 10% to give, but how do they give it? How do you capture it? Because that's worth, obviously, a huge amount to your organization if you can. So what we did was build the gamification around specifically the ability to capture people's contribution just to small tasks. So go back to like a Coca-Cola example where, you're creating a pitch and you're looking for a pitch piece of documentation for Coca-Cola. Imagine that member of staff, they're waiting for their bus or they're waiting for the train or they're early to a meeting. And they've got a couple of minutes spare. What do they do with those couple of minutes? They want to give something back to the organization, but how do you help them to do that? Well, in ProFinder, they'd be rewarded just for going in, looking at all the tasks inside the system that only take a couple of minutes and are relevant to their skill set. They push a couple of buttons, and it says, you know what, here are the things people are looking for. They seem right for you. They only take a couple of minutes. Can you help? And you may well be, oh, yeah, I've got that pitch documentation. In fact, I've got it on my Gmail. I'll just fire it over to you right now. So you've just saved that person hours worth of work, took you minutes, you get rewarded for doing so, you earn points, and you can now spend those points on rewards. So we have a kind of a place inside the system to host an employee reward program content. So many companies have those rewards, we just give you a place to put it, and we link it directly to the activity inside the system. So now you've really linked up, you've synchronized your rewards program with the activities you're trying to get users and your staff to make. So we think that is the really powerful kind of nudge factor to get that constant cycle of kind of reciprocity and goodwill going.
Mm. So if we were to talk to users of the system and sort of explain to them what we mean by employee voice and ask them to frame their experience of the system in relation to that, what do you think they'd say?
Well, I think they're, for the most part, they're happy to have been given a tool which enables them to find people across the organization. So if you use employee voice in that kind of strategic level view, I think they would say that's probably not what they care about on a day-to-day basis. I'd go back to that kind of 99% point that what they want to do is be enabled to find the right people and get their jobs done. It comes back to that kind of what drives your employees on a day-to-day basis. So we've seen them use it in really interesting ways as well in terms of innovation, in terms of creating ideas, creating tasks that represent an idea or a suggestion for the organization, and then getting feedback on the task and then putting it up to senior management. So give them the tool that enables them to talk to anybody in the business, but base it all on relevance. And now I think that the feedback we've had from staff, especially directly to us, has been that they're really happy with the ability to do that. So this is not about the wider forum shout to the whole company piece. This is about getting your job done. I think staff have been kind of responding quite positively to the ability to do that.
Mm. Excellent. So it does sound like it's such a sort of simple thing to really help people get their jobs done, which I suppose is one of the things that people do complain about a lot in organisations, that if only the organisation would do this, do that, or stop that happening or whatever, they'd be able to get much more done. So I guess this is one way of giving them that opportunity and in their power rather than outside of their power.
Totally. I mean, in terms of giving the employee some more power, I mean, the ability to have more control over your career. So inside ProFinder, you can register your current skills and expertise, but you can also register what you're interested in, where you want to go, and not just what your job tells you have skills in, but everything that makes you an individual and unique member of that organization. So skills you've earned in terms of your out-of-work activities, skills you've earned in terms of your hobbies and your past experience, all of it makes you up who you are. And that's, I think, I kind of buy into that point that's an important factor of employee engagement, the ability to give everything of yourself to an organization, not be pigeonholed by, this is your job, therefore this is what you do. So the ability for an individual member of staff to say, I don't have any background in that particular task, but I'm going to try and offer help because I have an interest in it and maybe there's room on the team. And we have to take more control of those kinds of interventions so that, 6 months down the line, you've actually built up contacts in that part of the organization. You build up experience. And you can now send to your boss, you said I wasn't ready for it, but here's 6 tasks I've helped out on. Here's really good feedback from people who own them. And I've now got that experience. I've got those networks. So, give me some control. So I think there's a real win there for employees who want to take more control over their career.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. Well, thank you. It's been so interesting, especially hearing about your research and so on with your CIPR qualification. So thank you for coming along. And just remind us of the website address for ProFinder.
Yeah, it's www.profinder.com. That's ProFinder, ProFinda.com. Or reach out to us on Twitter at ProFinder.
Excellent. Thank you. Really appreciate you coming on. And thank you.
Thank you.
So just to let listeners know what's happening next week, we've got some members of the social engagement subgroup, John Smythe, Steve O'Neill and Sherelle Wigley, talking about the new stream of the group, which is all about making strategy using social tools. They're looking to make explicit the best ways and means to blend social media and face-to-face dialogue to devise and execute better strategy. So do listen in and find out what's happening with that group. And if you want to join in, then do get in touch as well. And to finish, if you've got a good employee engagement story or you know someone who does, please consider joining us as a guest on the show. And to do that, just email me, that's jo@engagesuccess.org, to find out more. Okay, and we'll see you next week.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.